The following program contains graphic descriptions and language that may be disturbing to some listeners. Parental discretion is advised.
Welcome to a special edition of Community Air. Earlier this year, Haley Heligsgo, an Astoria High School senior, decided that for her senior project, she would share her experiences in the foster care system. We start tonight's program with an interview I did earlier this year with Haley, where we talk about her time spent in foster care and how the experience has influenced her plans for her next steps in life. Hi, this is Ann Goldin. I am interviewing Haley Heligsgo. This is her senior project talking about the foster care system. Welcome, Haley.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Glad that you're here with me today. Okay, so let's talk about how did you get in the foster care system and how old were you when that happened?
I initially went into foster care actually about a month after my mom got arrested for child abuse. And I was living with my mother's mother for about a week. Then I moved to my sister's father, which is not my father. We have different fathers, but the same mother. And I lived there for about a month and then a week with my dad's mother. And then DHS took over and I was pretty much shipped all the way to Hillsboro in a safe place.
And how old were you?
I was 15.
50. And what was that like, all that turbulence running from house to house?
It was very stressful. Even though I had been, throughout my entire youth, I had never stayed at a single school for more than a year until, fifth grade. Fifth grade was the first time I was in the same school twice for following years.
Wow.
And I was almost used to it, but as soon as I realized that I could only stay there for 3 months, I didn't even stay at the safe place for 3 months, but I knew I was going to move again, and that really stressed me out.
No stability.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you got to Portland, and then what happened?
Well, actually, in Hillsboro, apparently I had problems. I was over-sexualized or something, and I supposedly did stuff in public, and I know for a fact I didn't. And there were no tapes or recordings they supposedly had of me doing this. I never saw them. They never went to court or anything. They decided that a good placement for me would be Rosemont. Well, my caseworker did at the time. And
what's Rosemont?
Rosemont is a treatment center for girls. At the time that I went, it had two dorms. Now it only has one, and it holds 27 kids on each dorm.
All girls. And treatment for what?
Treatment for many, many things. Mostly behavioral. There's a lot of drug and alcohol treatment. They have NA groups and AA groups. They're separate, and they happen once a week.
And what about victims of sexual abuse?
They didn't really specify anything about that, mm-hmm. which is what I went there for, and they didn't really do anything about it. I had family counseling with my mother. We did cover that, but I felt like it wasn't covered enough.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that it could ever be covered enough.
No.
Yeah, so you had a little bit of counseling.
Yeah, a little
mm-hmm,
bit.
Mm-hmm. And what was Rosemont like?
Rosemont, to say that in the nicest way possible, it wasn't really great. It was, I'm trying not to be mean and totally poo-poo on it. I mean, it really does help you. I really believe it can, for certain people. But this is unofficial, but I am certain that all the people I knew that had gone out of Rosemont back into their regular lives, about 95% of them started using drugs again.
The ones that were there for drug abuse?
Yes.
So,
and some that even weren't there for drug abuse started using drugs.
Uh-huh. So the underlying issues didn't go away?
No.
Or whatever was causing them to use drugs?
Yes. I believe more counseling would have helped a lot, but uh-huh. It was a dorm setting, and so there's 27 of us all in this one dorm, and they're all from 13 to 17 years old, and there by far is so much drama going on that it consumed our reality. It was pretty much all we were into because we couldn't do anything else.
No school?
No, well, there was school, but this was during summer when I got there. And school was about from I say 12 in the afternoon to 3 at 3 in the or oh, so 12 really at noon short, and then 3 day. In the afternoon, yeah. Mm-hmm. And after school, we would sit in our rooms for about 2 hours doing nothing or whatever we wanted to do. And
what were the choices?
The choices, I don't know. There wasn't really a lot.
Okay, so basically sitting, you might
basically
could read.
Sitting, can we read? could read, we could crochet. I actually learned how to crochet at Rosemont. Once you go into Rosemont, guaranteed you're going to know how to crochet by the time you get out.
There are worse things. You can make clothes.
Yeah. And that was about it. And then at 5 o'clock, we ate. And our meals were mostly consisted of, like, very carb foods.
Oh,
like,
great.
There were a lot of starches. There were,
like
most
breads,
breads and noodles. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and cereal was the main thing we ate in morning. And that and French toast and anything else that you could possibly make with bread. Mm-hmm. But, And then you sat in your room for another, like, until, I believe, 9. Or we had one group in between 5 and 9. And then at 9, we would go to bed.
Mm-hmm. How long were you there?
I was there for 13 months.
Uh-huh. And when you left there, did you feel like you were better?
Not really.
Did you feel like you were worse?
No. I felt like a lot of the things they taught me, I had already known. But used in different ways. Like, one thing they taught us was the DBT modules. And it's
what,
all
what,
about...
Wait, what is that?
Dialectical behavior therapy.
That sounds scary. What is it?
It's this big packet you get. It has 4 modules. And the first module is mindfulness. You have to learn to be mindful of your surroundings, to be mindful of yourself. And, like, cheerleading statements are a big thing. Like, you say, oh, I can do this, blah, blah, blah. And, like, I knew all of those already. And it was just completely just put in a different, like, text, pretty much. And they did a few.
Yeah, what were the other modules?
Oh, I can't remember. But the last one I remember was, I can't remember the name of it, but it was based around all these anagrams. Anagrams are the ones that have the letters that spell out something, right? Like, dear woman was, like, W and O was willingness and openness. So is that an anagram, or what is that called?
It's something using initials to spell something out, something else out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what.
Okay. But, yeah, we learned a lot of those. There was one called FAST. And there was one called Dear Woman, and there was one called Mean, I think. But Mean was completely not what it meant at all.
Uh-huh.
It was a nice thing that you were learning. But there were quite a few of those throughout all the modules, but the last one had most of them.
Did you get acknowledgement for the suffering you went through as far as being molested, being abused? Did that get worked on? Did you have therapy for that?
Only with family therapy. We covered it a few times. But, I mean, it was mostly when we initially got there. The like, first few months.
You're talking about at Rosemont.
Yeah.
And before that? I mean, after you were taken out of your home? No?
No.
No?
No.
Even though, isn't that why you were taken out of your home?
No, that's, I was taken out of my home because my mother was arrested for child abuse. And I had moved in with my mother because my father had molested me.
So let's go back to when you got out of Rosemont. Where did you go? Where did you live and what did you do?
I lived in Salem at a foster home for about 3-4 months.
Mm-hmm. And what was that like?
That wasn't all great. She was...
I think it was terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. It's okay to say it was terrible.
Okay. It was pretty bad. But my foster mom...
Wait, what was bad about it?
My foster mom.
Uh-huh.
And she was a single foster mom. She had 3 other fosters and 2 children of her own.
And what were the ages of all these children?
The oldest was 18 and the youngest was 14. The youngest was her own child, though.
But that's a lot of whoever's. That's a lot of teenagers in the house to manage for one woman, for 2 women, for a family.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I do understand that she might have had a lot to handle, but she was not the nicest person. She was very mean.
She was mean.
She was very mean.
Uh-huh.
She was not understanding whatsoever. I would try to, voice my opinion. I would try to say that this makes me uncomfortable or something. I don't want to do this. And she would just not yell at me, but she would start going very sternly that you have to do this. There's nothing else that I'll make. You can't do anything else until this is done.
So it sounds like a lot of the things in the house didn't really make sense to you?
Yeah, it didn't at all.
How long were you there?
Oh, 4 months.
And
at most.
When you were done there?
I actually got my caseworker to take me out of there because it was so not okay for me. Mm-hmm. It was not a good environment for me to
be in. What about, like, the food and sleeping arrangements? Was there enough food? Was it the kind
there
of food
was,
you wanted?
Well, actually, the food, the biggest thing about the food is you were allowed to eat a serving size, and then you weren't allowed to snack during the day. You were only allowed to eat during mealtimes. And that was pretty much at home. It was breakfast or dinner. And most of the time, I couldn't eat breakfast because I have this problem about getting up late. And so I would just go to school and not eat breakfast, and then I would eat lunch at school. And then I would get home, and about at, like, 6 o'clock, we would have dinner. And before that, like, 3 to 6, I would be so hungry. I'd be incredibly hungry. And mm-hmm. She said, you can't eat anything. She wouldn't give me a snack at all. Like, I couldn't eat, like, a lunch, like, a little health bar or anything.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Granola bar or anything.
And was it, like, dorm sleeping? Like,
no, it was a house. And so I had a roommate.
You had a roommate. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I slept on the top of the bunk bed, and she slept on the bottom. Mm-hmm. The roommate was the oldest. She was 18. Mm-hmm.
Did you get enough sleep?
Yeah, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was anything during this whole process, was sleep a problem for you? Did you have nightmares?
No, it was. I've always had trouble with sleep, though, for my entire life. I've never been able to go to sleep and wake up on the right time.
Okay, so that hasn't really changed.
No.
Okay, so then after the 4 months, you got moved to another foster system?
Another foster home, yes. And this was in the Dalles, or no, Dallas. It's a completely
Dallas.
Different city.
Okay.
And it was a very, like, rural area. Mm-hmm. And I was there for a week. And then I was able to go back to my mom's house.
A week?
A week.
Yeah. Did anything weird happen during that week?
No, I didn't like her daughter, though. She had this complete biased opinion about all foster care youth, and I tried to, like, show her that not everyone is a bad person just because they're in foster care. And she just wouldn't listen. She would
but
not
But the mother
have it.
Is a foster mother?
Yeah.
Is it all? Was she also a single mother?
Yes.
Interesting. Sounds like she never talked to her daughter.
No. But she also was surprisingly very awkwardly open with her sex life. The foster mom.
Oh. That sounds really inappropriate.
It is very inappropriate.
God, that's... Okay, so...
No, that was just one of the things I saw. I was just like, I don't want to know. It's incredibly inappropriate for you to tell someone that just moved in your house, oh, blah, blah, blah. You know, no. I don't want to know that.
Right. Especially a teenager.
Yeah.
Well, no, any kid.
Yeah.
It's just not appropriate at all.
No.
Okay, so then you went, after a week, you got to go back and live with your mom.
For about 3 months. And then I got in trouble for smoking pot. I got UA'd. And I had pot in my system. And then I went to another place again. And this place was called Clackamas House. This is actually my favorite placement I was at. It was a very good placement for me, I think.
Is it not a foster home?
No. It was
a treatment facility?
A treatment facility, but it was more of a house setting kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like alternative to like a treatment facility,
mm-hmm.
but it was still like for treatment and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They taught me DBT there again also, and I would just not have it. I was pretty much forced to do it at Rosemont, so I was just anti-DBT at that point. But I find that place was pretty much my greatest setting because people there, they were very understanding. The staff were very understanding. They gave you more freedoms than any other placement I had ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually really nice.
And how long were you there?
I'd say a year. A year to 11, or 11 months to a year.
Wow. Yeah. And you went to school during that time?
Yeah, it was an alternative school that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They had this alternative school based outside the actual facility that mm-hmm. I would ride a bus to with all the other people. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice.
And that place you could eat when you needed to eat?
Well, you could have a snack every now and again. Mm-hmm. Like, there were actually times when you were allowed to have a snack.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like, oh, I'm hungry right now, I want to eat something. You couldn't do that. But
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like that split between a foster home and a treatment center.
Right. Not the worst.
Not the worst.
But, of course, when people are at home, they can eat whenever they want, whenever they can get to the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Right? You
yeah.
walk in the kitchen, you can have something to eat.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we're so fat. People eat constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So, after that, were you back in foster care? Or did you go back home?
Oh, I went to... I had actually at Clackamas House, I have to admit, I had a few anger outbursts. Like, pretty violent ones. I never hit anyone. I never touched anyone else, but I did destroy the vacuum that we had, the one that we had, and I threw it against the wall and it kind of broke. And it was not my proudest moment. It was this girl had incredibly just pissed me off. She was 13, I being 18 already, was, and she had this huge crush on me or whatever, and I'm just like, no. And then she started being really mean to me, and I just got to me after a few months. It really
and this,
got to me.
Did you bring this to the staff?
Yes. And they really can't do anything about it.
They can't tell her to back off?
No. They tell her to, but she never did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so then after that, is that why you left there?
No, the anger outbursts were, yeah, but not the girl, not at all. We're actually good friends now, it's weird.
Okay, so the anger episodes landed you where?
At a place called YPA, Youth Progress Association. And I was there, I don't know, for like 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm back home where I am now. But at YPA, this is such an extensive story, but at YPA, it was like a step down from Clackamas House, but definitely a step up from Rosemont. So people didn't really understand me very well, and I was able to go job searching, though, which was a good thing. I made a resume for the first time, and they taught me a lot of things that were good to put on a resume and things to leave out of a resume. And it was a good learning experience there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Youth Progress Association was a facility that you didn't actually sleep at. You slept at a proctor home, which is like kind of like a foster home, but they actually work for the facility. So they only those homes you were allowed to go to. And I went to one. And I absolutely adored my foster parents. They were freaking amazing. I mean, they were just the most amazing foster parents ever. They were huge bikers. They were completely clean and sober and everything. So it wasn't like they were these big biker dudes or whatever that just, like, smoked pot all the time.
I think that's a stereotype.
It is a stereotype.
Yeah.
But they were even in a clean and sober biker group. It was like AA for bikers.
Mm-hmm.
There was actually a group of bikers that were all mm-hmm. clean. I thought it was pretty amazing. And it was great. I loved it.
You had
that
a good experience
with
them.
Yeah, I had a good experience.
They understood you.
Yeah, except for one time I ended up going home a week earlier than I was going to because I didn't get up. And she called the cops because I wouldn't get out of bed and I was trespassing. And so the cop came over, and I was like, I'll get out of bed now. And so the cop left, and she was just uberly mad at me. Completely just pissed off. And so I ended up leaving a week earlier than uh-huh. I was supposed to.
So what do you foresee for your future? Now you're finishing high school. Mm-hmm. What's next?
I want to say that I'll go to college, but I know I'm probably just going to take a year off. But I'm definitely looking forward to going to college and doing my basic classes here at Clatsop County or mm-hmm. Clatsop
Community College.
And then as I'm doing that, I believe I will search for, like, narrow down the few colleges that I have in mind.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to study?
I actually want to study social work and work at a place like Rosemont.
Wow, that sounds fabulous.
Yeah. I actually wanted to work at Rosemont for quite a long time. I don't know if you going to Rosemont will have any effect on me working at Rosemont.
I think more your credentials when you apply.
Well, yeah, I know you have to have a bachelor's degree in order to work at Rosemont. Mm-hmm. But I know quite a few other places that you can work while you're working towards that degree. And kind of mm-hmm. the same things.
That sounds great. Mm-hmm. So overall, how would you characterize the foster care system in Oregon? Just from your slice of living through it.
I would characterize it as needs more work.
Yeah.
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 It's not perfect. Like, nothing else is perfect. But, I mean, it definitely needs to be looked at.
What do you think, where do you think you'd be now if none of this had happened and you had stayed with your mom during this whole time? Where do you think you'd be right now?
Honestly, I actually think I'd be in a way worse shape than I am now.
Really?
Yes. I think going through all this has actually shocked my system in order to know not to do bad things, pretty much. And, I mean, smoking pot was a big thing that I used to do. And I no longer do that because I know I'm actually on probation right now. But, like bench probation. But I know if I smoke pot, I can go to jail. And being through all of what I've been through, it's definitely shocked that out of my system.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of the good outcomes that I see mm-hmm. is that mm-hmm. even through all of this, even if I feel like it hasn't helped me in specific ways, I feel like it at least told me what can happen if I do something bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, it strikes me that some of the lacks, obviously, are not enough counseling,
yeah.
not help for the problems you have,
yeah.
which are related to being sexually molested. Mm-hmm. And we've known that that doesn't just go away just because you take the person out of the situation.
Yeah.
The hurt is there for
yeah.
forever, and you
yeah.
need to deal with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that you need.
Yeah.
Everyone
yeah.
who's experienced it needs yeah. to deal with it. It takes a lot of work.
Definitely.
And that was kind of glossed over, I think, is a big mm-hmm. a big omission
mm-hmm.
on the
actually
the whole
during those few months that I was back home with my mom before I went to Clackamas House and YPA, I had actually been in some counseling for that, and I my counselor suggested that my mom buy me a very inappropriate thing for a mother to buy her daughter. It was something that vibrated pretty much. I just put it at that. But, and my mom did. I threw it away eventually, and I was just like, ew. but it was a very non-professional way of dealing with it, I think. Like, I never saw that counselor again, and I've actually had gone to Hope House when I was 13
mm-hmm.
before all of this happened
mm-hmm.
and she was pregnant my
the counselor
and mm-hmm. that just it didn't bug me, but knowing that she was pregnant and knowing how people get pregnant, and that was actually one of my fears of when
mm-hmm.
I was getting molested
mm-hmm.
it didn't help at all just because mm-hmm. she was pregnant. I mean, mm-hmm. I hate to just say pregnancy is horrible, but I mean, it didn't help at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, at that time.
Not that time.
Right. It showed that you needed a different kind of therapist
yeah.
at that time. Maybe
yeah.
now it wouldn't matter.
No, it
but,
doesn't matter now.
Right.
But yeah.
Right. But you were awfully young then.
Yeah, I was.
Okay. Let's take a break. And okay. my guest is Haley Helisgo, and we are talking about her experience with the foster care system, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Voices from the Foster Care System here on Coast Community Radio 91.9 FM Astoria and 89.5 KTCB Tillamook. This is Community Air. Astoria senior high school student Haley Helisgo takes the host chair now for a conversation with two other young people about their experiences in foster care as we continue with this special edition of Community Air.
I am Haley Hilligso with Desiree and Cheyenne, and we're going to talk about the foster care system. Hi, Desiree and Cheyenne.
Hi, Haley.
Hi.
First off, I want to ask you, how did everything, like foster care-wise, how did that all start?
Some negative things happened, and my kids were removed from my home and placed into foster care due to mental health issues and drug and alcohol abuse issues, and me not making very good choices for my children. So my kids were removed. I sought help and got counseling and did drug and alcohol treatment, mental health treatment, and we've made a lot of healthy choices since then.
How many kids did you have at the time?
At that time, I had 3 children.
Cheyenne, were you old enough to remember, or?
Yes, I was old enough.
What was it like for you?
Well, it was freaky where I didn't get to see my mom as much. That I was in a different environment. I wasn't used to it as much as...
Did you actually go straight into foster care, or did you go any other placements, or just straight into, like, a foster home?
Well, we had to wait. I just remember waiting in a room, and then we were there.
May I ask if the foster home was it close to home, or was it far away?
It was close.
For about how long were you at your first placement?
9 months.
Was that placement that you were at, do you believe it's a good experience, or overall? Do you think you grew from it, learned a few things?
I learned a few things from those people there.
How long until you got to actually see your children again?
When they first took my kids, it was about a week to 2 weeks that I could have visitation with them. And then it was weekly visitation, then it moved to twice a week, and then they started having visits at home, and we started seeing each other more, and then they were returned home, and things were good for like 9 months, and then they were removed from my home, and so I had a lot more work to do, and that time visitation was difficult because I wasn't able to see all of my kids together. Once a week, I got to see each one of my kids, but having them together, they didn't feel I was able to handle those visits by myself. So I got help from a professional counselor to teach me some different parenting strategies, and then I discovered Circle of Security, which has just been all of my parenting strengths.
And she's living at home now?
She's living at home now. The second time that they were in foster care, at the end of 9 months, Cheyenne was returned home. My son, Jose, the littlest one, was returned to his father. And my son, I openly adopted out to a local family.
Okay, quick thing, Cheyenne. Well, you were in foster care. As far as your siblings went, did you have good visitation with them, do you think? Or none at all, maybe, or...
Well, I actually liked it that I was able to stay with them, and I was the oldest, and so they got scared sometimes, and once we all got separated, I didn't like it. We all were separated, and I didn't like it.
That's really hard. It's a hard thing to do, especially if you're the oldest. It's a very big burden to have to hold. Your foster parents, were they ever mean to you at all?
Well, they did get strict sometimes if we weren't listening, and yeah.
Yeah. After everything, your overall, like, view of foster care, the system, all of that?
I didn't like it that much because I didn't get to see my mom as often, so I don't like it.
It can be quite stressful, actually. I see you at Voca Camp every year.
Yep.
Do you like Voca Camp?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a fun place. I actually have gone to Voca Camp since I was 13.
Really?
Yeah, for 7 years now.
It's going to be my 5th year there.
That's cool. It's a great healing place, would you say? I think it's great fun, really. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. When you turn 18, what do you think you're going to do?
I'm going to want to go to college. I want to do great things in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't want to screw anything up or anything. I want a good life.
What do you think you want to be?
A nurse is what I want to be.
Yeah. Who's inspired you to be a nurse?
My foster sister, Crystal.
So, Desiree, what was your role in all of this? With your children, how did you feel about this whole ordeal?
I felt very sad that I made some poor choices, and I just wanted to get above board and make positive choices. And the support system that I had really helped me in doing that. And a huge part of that is my son's adopted mother. Mm-hmm. She has been very supportive on my growth and mm-hmm. helping me. And the visitation as it goes now is I get to see him a lot, and mm-hmm. we have a very strong relationship, I feel. So that's good. Of course, DHS and a lot of people that I've met through them, through the Heron Project and stuff, have been, and Circle of Security, have been very supportive and watching me grow. And one person that really has helped me in more ways than I can explain is Cheyenne's foster mom. She has really been there to support me and watch me grow. She knows at times that I need a little boost, and she comes along and boosts me up without even me asking. She plays a really big role in our lives today. Yeah, and we'll always be there. I know that they will. I know that I wanted to make a lot of healthy choices and changes on my own, but in all actuality, I don't think I would have been able to come this far without my support team.
Yeah. As a child, what was your view on your future?
Growing up, I didn't think that I had a fighting chance at life. And I got into drugs and alcohol really bad. And I decided that that's what I wanted for the rest of my life. I saw no success. I saw no hope. When I turned 18, I said, I'm going to be a junkie. That's what I want to be. I can't even think about using now.
That's good, though. You made so much progress from then. I'm proud. I feel that you're a great person. So.
Thank you.
Were you ever in foster care?
Yeah. Oh. I was. More than once. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I thought that there was nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, my parents didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. I thought that I was protecting my parents, and mm-hmm. I think I kind of fell through the cracks of the DHS system.
Like so many people do. I know I did.
And so to be able to come back and break the cycle and
it's a great thing.
To really be there for my kid. I mean, my daughter's right here next to me at mm-hmm. 10 years old telling me she's going to go to college. Yeah. And that means the world to me.
Yeah. So how, Cheyenne, how do you feel about everything your mother just said?
I feel good that she made good choices and had four of us.
She's a good mom, right?
Yep.
Yeah. She's a very good mom.
What started all of the cycle of abusing? What was
the beginning?
Start? Yeah, what started it?
To be honest with you, I don't know. The crowd I was hanging out with when I saw other people doing it, so I wanted to do it too. The drinking started first, and I was 11. My stepfather would have me drink alcohol so that I would maybe not tell on him for abusing me. That's kind of where that started. And I was able to cope with that abuse during the time of being intoxicated, so then I thought I could continue to cope with that because I moved in with my dad after that, and I felt like I wasn't believed. I wasn't believed by my mom. So it just kind of like the drinking and doing drugs and hanging out with friends and getting attention from boys and all that other kind of stuff really made all of those negative feelings inside of me go away. I just went on that road, and then even throughout having kids, I couldn't quit. It had a hold of my life, so I just found God one day, and he saved my life. I started going to AA and doing things like that, mm-hmm. and after 2.5 years, I had relapsed, mm-hmm. and everyone was saying, well, you might have mental health issues here, Desiree, and I said, okay, maybe you're right. So I went to Clats of Behavioral Health, and they helped me a lot there. I had a really hard time telling people no, and I worked for 6 weeks with my counselor to learn how to tell my neighbor no, she could not use my vacuum.
Yeah.
And it changed my life forever.
Yes.
I was able to be assertive and stand up for myself and protect myself and be my own person, and no one could control me anymore. I didn't have to do what people said. Not the whole world doesn't have to like me.
How old are you, or when did you have her, actually, Mark?
I was 20 when I had Cheyenne, and I'm 31 now.
Oh.
I was pretty heavy into meth mm-hmm. after... During my pregnancy, I had stopped
mm-hmm.
Using meth. I was just in a different environment, didn't mm-hmm. know how to get it type mm-hmm. thing. And then I had moved back to Portland right before she was born. Mm-hmm. And right after I had her, I started using again. Mm-hmm. And during my second pregnancy, I was unable to stop. Unfortunately, that has affected my son. When I found out that he was affected by my choices,
mm-hmm.
I chose to say that now I'm going to spend the rest of my life making his life easier for him. I chose not to drink and use. And when you combine that with any kind of issue that you're having, it mm-hmm. comes out 10 times worse. So my life is dedicated to helping my children and yes. being there for them. And I mean, that was a really hard turn when it came time to talk about maybe adopting him out.
Mm-hmm.
I really had to look at myself and my situation and how I was going to be, you know, a strong mother at that time on my own with 4 babies.
Does he, your son, as far as his need base or what defects or mental disabilities was he born with, how has that affected, like, what you need to do for him?
He has some anger issues. He is high needs.
Mm-hmm.
I call it a meltdown when he mm-hmm. kind of like freaks out and has violent behavior. I believe that he may have some attachment disorder stuff, because when you have a parent who's on meth, you can't emotionally connect properly with mm-hmm. that person.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in and out of foster care, it makes it hard. My son spent more time away from me in his life than with me, not by anything he did. It's not because of his high needs. It's mm-hmm. because I don't know how to cope with my own mm-hmm. guilt mm-hmm. and feelings. I love him very much, and I refuse to move out of this county because this is where he is. Mm-hmm. And it's very important to me to watch him grow and
mm-hmm.
and be there and to continue to have a relationship with him, even though he's not in my home.
Mm-hmm.
I know where he's at. I know he's safe. Mm-hmm. I know that he's getting things at his new environment that he would not get at my home,
mm-hmm.
Just because I'm thinly spread with 4 children.
Mm-hmm.
I support his mom in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
We all love each other and we support each other. I'm bio mom, and this is mom that's going to raise you. And in fact, the foster mom for the kids came to my kids the other day and said, I'm not foster mom anymore. I'm Nana. Or how do you feel about?
She was a really Nana. Good. She was a good person, and she still is a great person today. But I think it really touched her when we said we can start calling her Nana. And I have 2 Nanas now.
Do you have anything else you would like to say just before we head out?
I'm great to have my family.
Me too. We love you guys.
You've just heard from Astoria young people Desiree and Cheyenne as they spoke with Astoria High School senior Haley Heligsgo about their experiences in the foster care system. You are listening to Community Air here on 91.9 FM Astoria and 89.5 KTCB Tillamook. Now we're going to continue with the third and last segment of Voices from Foster Care. Haley speaks with Rebecca about her time in foster care.
I'm Haley Haligso. I am here with Rebecca. We are going to talk more about foster care. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
How did everything get started? Like, from the very beginning, from when foster care, as soon as it influenced your life, when did that happen?
Okay, I was 2 years old when my grandparents had fostered me. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the appropriate word. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky enough to have my other full sister come with me. Mm-hmm. So we were together. Mm-hmm. My other brother and sister were not. They went to their other grandparents. Mm-hmm. So I didn't meet them until I was about 10. That I remember, and then not again until I moved out.
Oh.
So I was in foster for about, I want to say, 15 years.
So you were never adopted or anything by your grandparents?
No. No, they wanted to, but they didn't.
Okay. How the role, like, who you see as your basic role model, do you still see your mother, or do you see it as your grandparents now?
Growing up, we always called them Mom and Dad.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that they were my grandparents,
mm-hmm.
and I still know that.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends really if I get along with them or not. If I call Mom and Dad or Grandma and Grandpa. Usually it's Mom and Dad.
Okay. Were you ever in any other foster care placements?
Before my grandparents ended up taking my sister and I, mm-hmm. We went from foster home to foster home mm-hmm. for not very long. I'm guessing it was about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I was little.
Mm-hmm.
So that it kind of caused a lot of trust issues. Just going from house to house to house to house.
Because
mm-hmm. it's hard to accept two sisters.
Yeah.
So that was hard. But my grandparents ended up stepping in and
mm-hmm.
raised me from there on, from 2 to 16. So I guess that's 14 years I was in there.
When you were in other foster cares for that 6 months, how many times do you think you moved?
At least five. But I don't remember it too much. I just know from what I was told.
Okay.
When I went to my grandma's, mm-hmm. I remember always getting in trouble because I hid food under my bed. I always would hide food everywhere. It's just a little
mm-hmm.
extra.
Mm-hmm.
I needed that.
Mm-hmm.
Same with clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing it was like a survival thing for me. Just make sure I always had something with me.
Mm-hmm.
Always food under the bed.
Yeah.
You never know
feel
when you're
like
going to
you
get
need
your next
this.
One.
Yeah, exactly. I know that you spent most of your time with your grandparents. Do you think they ever, like, abused you or anything, or any of the other foster homes?
I don't know about the other foster homes,
mm-hmm.
but it all depends on what generation you grew up in, because
mm-hmm.
the generation that my grandparents grew up in,
mm-hmm.
what they did was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays,
mm-hmm.
not at all.
Yeah,
I grew up on a dairy farm, so there's
mm-hmm.
constantly always some work to do. But
mm-hmm.
if you didn't do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, you got quite a few spankings,
yeah.
I guess is a good way to put that.
Mm-hmm.
And my father he used to moonshine. So he was an alcoholic, and that really, really affected us. He
mm-hmm.
got really verbally abusive,
mm-hmm.
and at times there was physical abuse.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we're grown up, I mean, it seems like everything is fine.
Yeah.
So
I think any, even negative, no matter how negative the experience is, I think you can take stuff from that and turn it into positive.
Yeah. Something almost. That foster kids definitely can do. It's one of our strengths.
How many kids do you have now?
I have one.
One.
Right now.
Uh-huh.
One in heaven and one on earth.
And he's a boy, right?
Yes.
Okay. So
Jacob is now just turned 2 about a month ago.
Oh, that's cute.
And I just got him potty trained.
Woo! That's a hard thing to do. Since he's in foster care, like, currently, what's your feelings on, especially the holiday coming up, Mother's Day. What do you feel like? Like, he's two, so I wouldn't say he understands a lot, but does he call you Mom or his foster mom?
He definitely calls me Mama.
Okay.
Mama or Mommy.
Okay.
It's going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very hard for Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do anything about it, mm-hmm. I mean, other than what I'm doing, mm-hmm. which is my best to the 100% fullest. So I just take it day by day, and I can't control it, so I have to mm-hmm. I have to accept it and just keep going.
Yeah.
It's really hard, though, and it affects him.
Yeah.
Very much so. Like, mm-hmm. goodbyes break his heart,
mm-hmm.
and that breaks my heart. And
it's
hard to keep going in and out and, mm-hmm. you know, oh, am I going to see Mom today? And
mm-hmm.
that breaks my heart that he has to go through that.
Yeah. My little sister is going almost through the same thing right now. She's six, and she got taken away when she was two.
That's
so
hard.
She remembers it as now, and she currently lives with me and my mom, but it's getting her to go to my aunt for babysitting is so difficult. She wants to always be with Mommy, always mm-hmm. be with sister, because we weren't there for the first, like, important years of her life.
Yeah, I think I work two jobs, and when I do get Jacob back, I'm going to take one of them off. But when I do leave to go to work, mm-hmm. I think he's going to think that's goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be hard.
Yeah. How, may I ask, did he initially go into foster care? Like, what happened?
I was in a very abusive relationship in every which way.
Mm-hmm.
I fell head over heels for this man.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly it turned into, you know, emotional, verbal, then physical and sexual. Mm-hmm. I mean, every sort of abuse. Mm-hmm. I finally ended up breaking up with him mm-hmm. in October. In November, mm-hmm. our daughter passed. That was just too much for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he attempted to hang himself
mm-hmm.
in front of Jacob. I cut him down. He went to the hospital. And when he came back, he got even more upset.
Mm-hmm.
There was one final fight.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to take my son,
mm-hmm.
or I guess our son,
mm-hmm.
and it just turned into a huge fight, and we both got arrested.
Okay.
So Jacob was taken because we were both unable to go into the home,
okay.
or be at the home.
Yeah. Your daughter that passed, did he have anything to do with it, or was it like an accident? Maybe?
It was SIDS.
Oh.
It was sudden unexplained infant death syndrome.
Oh.
Yeah, she was 2 months and 16 days old. And I actually was the one to find her.
I'm sorry.
No. She showed me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really explain it.
Kind of what life means.
Now, absolutely. You only live one time.
Yeah.
And she also showed me how precious time is
yeah.
with your children.
Yeah.
She showed me so much more than I can even explain.
You're going through classes now to get your, to work towards?
Yes. I am going through classes. I am a part of Family Drug Court.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a support group before that. That we all get together and, mm-hmm. and talk and watch some videos as well. And then we have court. Basically, my Thursdays are completely booked
mm-hmm.
of, like, meetings and counseling appointments and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I am very involved in DBT. There's one-on-one counseling I do three times that day
mm-hmm.
for different counselors.
Mm-hmm.
I go and talk at the Women's Resource Center about domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
and then right after that I talk about sexual assaults,
mm-hmm.
and after that I go to TRIM,
mm-hmm.
and that basically is for women that's been through very traumatic things in their lives and how to recover and
mm-hmm.
be empowered by it all.
Yes.
Learn about why it happened.
So did you say you speak at those, like?
Well, I mean, I talk with the counselor or the group.
Would you say that you're more of a in recovery, or more of a, like, a counselor yourself for other people? Or, I mean, like, would
matter
you
of opinion?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. The word recovery is so vague.
Mm-hmm.
I got into drugs.
Yeah.
As a child, and mm-hmm. I guess as a teenager.
Yeah.
And I have been recovering off of drugs for a while now. Mm-hmm. But going through all of this is definitely a recovery system as well. And mm-hmm. the support groups are definitely something that helps mm-hmm. a lot. And I'm glad that they were, most of them were made mandatory for me. And I had no idea what they were beforehand. They're very helpful.
Your son is too, so how is his developmental stage? Like, you just said he was potty trained.
Right.
So
right, the foster mom just potty trained him, mm-hmm. which I'm so proud of him. That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
It just hurts. It's not me. That's the one's
yeah.
teaching him.
Yeah.
But growing up in the home that he did, there was a lot of violence. A lot of violence. So we didn't get out very much.
Mm-hmm.
His social skills are, I'm assuming, lower. But he's getting so much better. He's
mm-hmm.
actually, when we go to the park like we did today,
mm-hmm.
he went up to kids and started playing rather than, standing back and just watching
yeah.
and not knowing or being sure that it's okay.
Yeah. That's a big step.
That's a huge step. His vocabulary is climbing every day.
Mm-hmm.
He's just always been really well, physically,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Very strong young man.
How do you think foster care has changed you or your son, in your lives? How do you...
Okay, know that if foster care didn't step in when I was a child,
mm-hmm.
that I probably wouldn't be here, and if I was, I would be a wreck.
Mm-hmm.
I would... That is something I don't even think I could imagine.
Yeah.
So it's been good, and it's been hard when it comes to my son, but I understand and respect their job.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob and I were in a very, very bad situation. Having Foster stepping in has showed me exactly how important he is in my life, and that I don't
mm-hmm.
take a second for granted with him. And basically a huge reality check
mm-hmm.
that I'm still going through.
What would you say to other people that are going through the same thing or might be just starting out like where you started with moms that have gotten their kids taken away or in the same situation?
Basically, you've now hit rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so get up and keep going. I love my child. I'm going to do everything in my power to do anything. I can only assume that other women are the same way when
mm-hmm.
they have children.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some very frustrating times.
Yeah.
And times where you're confused and you don't understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But just keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be those moments where you just want to give up.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard. You think you're not doing very well, but the fact that you're still alive is awesome.
Yeah. If you can't see your kids right away, just being there and knowing that your kids are all right, it would be enough for me, I think. Just... I know from personal experience that when I was taken away from my mother at 15, I wasn't able to see her for 3 months, and you don't realize how long being with my mother, how long that actually is to
yeah.
be away from your parents after living with them for your entire life, pretty much.
It's a very long time,
mm-hmm.
very long time, and when Jacob was taken... I actually found jail very peaceful.
Mm.
Didn't have to look over my shoulder or anything.
Mm.
And I knew that he was okay. I knew that he was safe,
mm.
that nothing could happen to him, that he was all right. It's basically been like that since.
Mm.
I know that he's okay.
Mm.
I know that he's in a good home right now.
Mm.
And his foster parents are absolutely amazing. I couldn't ask for anybody better. She's bright and bubbly just like me.
Yeah.
She's got an awesome personality. And I've had the privilege... to having my son taken away,
mm-hmm.
to know exactly how much he means to me and what it is, how I'm living my life wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in this life. I thought
yeah.
it was normal.
Yeah.
And having him taken and me being shown the life of being normal is so
yeah.
weird. It's so weird.
Yeah.
But I'm learning how to do all of that
mm-hmm.
and how react to things. And I'm learning so much, and I'm glad that...
Mm-hmm.
I just want him back.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Patience is truly a virtue.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
I mean, even when you're doing everything right, you still can't have him back. I'm at the point of, like, I don't understand what I'm doing wrong. Why don't I have him? Mm-hmm. But basically, it's just you got to keep going.
When do you foresee having him back?
I have no clue.
You have no clue.
I have no idea. They have not really given me a timeline. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing everything that's being asked. Mm-hmm. And I have a meeting with my caseworker mm-hmm. relatively soon, and she's going to go over the reasons why he was taken and what mm-hmm. I have to do to get him back. So okay. I really don't know. It could be weeks. It could be months. Mm-hmm. And I hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
Mm. You said you went into drugs a little bit mm-hmm. when you were as a teenager.
When I was a teenager, I started smoking marijuana. Mm-hmm. I shortly after that got introduced to meth, mm-hmm. and that was from my biological father. Mm-hmm. I did it for a few times, and then finally I just saw myself. I'm like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. What am I doing? So went to the house, packed my stuff, and I left here for the next morning and met my biological mother mm-hmm. and moved in with her. Didn't work out too well. Mm-hmm. Still continuing to smoke weed. And then I moved out all on my own.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that your life is going well and will be going well, like, in the future?
Well, I'm 6 feet above ground, sucking in air. I am perfectly fine. Okay. Compared to the alternative, yeah. I'm all right. Everything will be fine. You know, it might take some time to get mm-hmm. where I want to be, but I am content with where I am.
You graduated high school, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so did you ever go to college? And
yes, anything, actually. I actually went to Forest Grove High School for some time. Mm-hmm. Moved here, got in a fight, mm-hmm. got expelled from Seaside High School, mm-hmm. and fought my way back into high school and graduated. Mm-hmm. And crazy thing, through being in trouble through that time, I really didn't want to walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just wanted to get my diploma, and that's that.
Mm-hmm.
And the principal actually, she's like, I will do anything for you to walk. And I was like, all right, you give me $50, I'll walk. She did. I gave it back to her. I didn't actually take it, but she actually was going to give me $50. She had so much faith in me. That was really cool. She's one of my people that I look up to. That was awesome. She gave me a lot of hope.
So what's your job now?
I'm a server.
Oh.
And I also have a night job. I hope some people hear this and realize that they'll be all right.
You've been listening to Voices from Foster Care in a special edition of Community Air. Foster care in Oregon is overseen by the Oregon State Department of Human Services. Offices are located in Clatsop, Tillamook, and Columbia counties. For more information in Astoria, phone 503-325-9179. In Tillamook, the number is 503-842-5571. And in St. Helens, call 503-397-3292. Those numbers can also be found on our website at coastradio.org under program Ann Goldin Shows. Thanks for listening to Community Air, Voices from Foster Care. Community Air comes your way every Sunday night at 7 p.m. You'll hear a variety of local voices with programs ranging from gospel music to speakers from the Columbia Forum and, at elections time, local candidates forums. Community Air is a production of Coast Community Radio.